Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is May 10th, 2024, Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading in the Big Book. We are in There's a Solution, page 19, the first paragraph, starting with, none of us make a sole vocation of this work, ending with, all their time to the work. All right, our readers today. So we have for the steps, we have Tenzin P. For the traditions, Julie B. Starting us off with the text is Loretta H. Anne-Marie M. is reading 164. Our backup reader is Susan S.H. Our newcomer greeter should be Kathleen W. She'll show up. And then second hour host is Roz G., followed by our announcements is Nancy C.
Russ, this
All
is
right.
Kathleen W.
All right, thank you. We got you. See, I told you she'd show up. All right, the OA preamble, reference numbers. Let me go back. So yesterday was Thursday, the 9th of May, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 21,387, 21387. And 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,388, 21388. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope and are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supported through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I asked Tenzin P. to read the steps for us today.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York City. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Julie B. with the traditions.
Thank you, Russ. Good morning. Julie B., recovering compulsive overeater from Ohio. The 12 traditions of OA. 1. our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based upon attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thanks, Julie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1, unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're back in the Big Book reading, and there's a solution. Page 19. Sorry about that. Page 19, that first paragraph, starting with none of us make a sole vocation of this work, ending in they can give nearly all their time to the work. And Loretta H. is going to start us off reading and sharing.
Good morning, Russ, and good morning, all. Along with my precious God, you are saving my life. Loretta H. in North Carolina, a recovered, with God's grace and mercy, compulsive overeater. None of us makes a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel that the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes and occupations. All of us spend much of our spare time in this sort of effort, which we are going to describe. A few are fortunate enough to be situated so they can give nearly all their time to this work. Oh my God, is this rich? And Bill is such a magical writer. There's so many words in here that this is the 12th step. This is, you know, practicing the principles in all our affairs. We've had a spiritual awakening. And in fact, before we even get to working with others, he mentions it 124 times. So this is very important. It's a vital must in my recovery. It's also self-sacrifice is why I get the gift that keeps on giving, which is my recovery. And I wanted to look up the word soul because he, like I said, he's such a magical writer. And it's the spiritual being regarded as immortal. So, and then I looked up vocation, a strong feeling of suitability for a particular, and I call it purpose or occupation. And this paragraph talks about our work, and there are paradoxes in our program, which I think is so interesting because we surrender to win, we give it away to keep, we suffer to get well, and we die to live. Is that immortal? I mean, it's just, we're so fortunate. And I am fortunate enough because I retired 3 years after I started program to do this as, because of, it's priceless. It's like the commercial. And helping others is a foundation stone of my recovery. You know, this spiritual structure, the demonstration of the principles in all my affairs. And a little controversial, but I try to use the principles of each month in that month. And this month, it's interesting because the principle of the step is integrity, which is the foundation and runs through every step. The tradition is purpose, and that's why I'm here, because I feel as though this is what keeps me abstinent and sober and having the life beyond my wildest dreams, because I can't give away what I don't have, so I must keep on the firing line with the newcomer. I call it Greenpeace. And then the concept is consideration, and that's what we do when we work with others. I'm no Garbu on this. I'm no authority. The only thing I can give anybody, thank you, is my experience, strength, and hope. And that's because you've given it to me and my God has given it to me. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Loretta. All right, we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day. So if you share to Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Now others get a shot to share, and I'll let you know if I hear you or not. Who's up?
Harley G.
I'm Katie G. from Boston.
All right, I got
it. Katie M.
Hold on.
Jen C. Ohio.
Hold on. Harlan, Katie.
Jeannie.
I think Jen, was there a Jen C?
Yes, Jen C. Ohio.
Jeannie. Kelly.
Anne Marie.
There was someone else.
Did you get Rifka in there?
Rifka. That's it. Rifka. Okay, who else? I know there was a couple more in there. Don't be shy. All right, we'll go with this. We got Harlan, Katie, Jen C, Jeannie. I just didn't get the first initial of your last name. We'll get it when you jump up here. Kelly S, Anne-Marie M, and Rifka R. All right, Harlan. And if you're not Harlan, please press star 1.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting today. Thanks for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I came into this program 45 years ago, February 2nd. I've been in this program for 45 years. And I think for the first 15 to 20 of those years, I brought with me a dieting mentality. I had been in the paying ways, and this is what I knew. This was the mentality that I knew. And I also fell privy to a lie that I was told by everyone in the world. And the lie is, when you get down to your goal weight, everything will be okay. and I treated this like a pay and way. What that means specifically for me is I'm going to lose my weight, and when I lose the weight, when I lose my weight, then I'm okay, then I'm done, then I've arrived. I've arrived at a destination, and I kept arriving at a certain destination. I would get down to a weight, and I would say, this is okay, even though I was morbidly obese, and that is where my disease would take over. And when it says here, we feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning, this is a concept that I missed for decades. What this is about is to have a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. And when I have a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, I will be in a place of neutrality. But here's the kicker. In the first while, I have 25 years of abstinence going into today, 25 years of abstinence. I've lost a little over 500 pounds. I went from over 700 pounds to a little over 200 pounds. But here's the kicker for me. When I got out of the mentality, don't eat, go to meetings, don't eat, go to meetings, don't eat, go to, that was for the first years. Then I entered into an area where things started to heal in my soul, in my mind, in my personality. Things started to metamorphosize that I didn't even know were broken. I started to become a person who liked myself rather than hated myself. I started to become a person that was reliable and honest and truthful and dependable. And I didn't come in here for that. I started to become a person that was helpful to others with no expectation of a return, and I didn't come in here for that. And in the first few steps, I got right with myself, then I got right with God, and then I got right with my fellow human being, and I didn't come in here for that. And today, with all of its trials and tribulations, I have a life that's worth living. I like myself today, and I love others. Because I can like myself, I can truly love others. And I live a life of integrity, and I'm happy. I'm happier probably than I've ever been in my entire life, and I didn't come in here for that. But this is what happened as the result of practicing these principles in all of my affairs. Thanks for your service, Russ, and everybody have a great day today. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, H. Appreciate it. Next up is Katie G, followed by Jen C.
Hi, friends. Katie G, recovered in Boston. Thanks, Russ, for taking the meeting. I was sitting here and wondering, you know, why does it matter, right? Like, why does it matter if I eliminate the eating, if I eliminate the anorexia and bulimia? Why does it matter how I treat other people? Why does it matter if I return my grocery cart? Why does it matter if I scream at my kids if I'm not loving to my husband? And what I've learned over the past 20 years is that the reason it matters is because what happens when I am in my selfishness, because remember, for me, I have alcoholism, not alcoholism. And when I am in my selfishness, my extreme selfishness, then what's going to happen is I'm going to engage in behaviors where eating will be a step up from my thinking. It'll be a relief. And I have to tell you, as a mom, this has been really hard, and I've very publicly have navigated this. When I first had my first baby, I was doing a lot of service on this line, and people were really impressed by that. And I was like, oh, I can manage this, and, you know, my recovery program comes first. And then I had another baby, and I continued to do more service. But it started to become really stressful, and I kept putting my family's needs on the back burner. And let me tell you, that's not acceptable. And how did I learn that? Through repeated humiliations and the final crushing blow of my self-sufficiency. I remember about a year ago, I wanted to share, and y'all know that I'm super eager to share, and my daughter needed me. I closed the door on her. She pounded on the door. Now, I know that this is all really disgusting behavior, but I'm not here because I'm well. I'm here because I'm sick. And today, thanks be to God, I woke up at 3 a.m. I had a girl on either side of me, a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and all they could say was, I love you too, mommy. So I didn't have to, and I wanted to go back to sleep. But you know what? I got to wake up to two little girls saying, I love you. And where are they right now? They're having their breakfast. They're taken care of. I have to practice these principles. Today, there are things that I want to do. Mm-mm. I get to be an agent for God. You know what God wants me to do today? Drop off my kids, go to the grocery store, do the laundry, clean the rug that got throw up all over it. What else do I get to do? I'm forgetting. But it's all these things that I get to do today because I'm an agent for God. Do you think I want to do them? No. No, but this is not about this program, thanks be to God, has taught me how to grow up. So if I am not practicing these principles in my home, in my occupation, in my affairs, I am promised one thing, I will eat. I need to be in honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. Love and tolerance for others is my code. And with that, I pass.
Hi, this is Jen C. from Ohio.
All right, sorry about that. I got jammed up here.
Oh, okay.
All right, Jen, you are up. Sorry about the delay.
All right. No, that's good. That's good. This is Jen C. from Ohio. Good morning. I'm so happy to be sharing live today. I'm a teacher and enough about that. The word that stood out to me today was spare time. I know when I joined OA back in 2017, someone mentioned, you'll be amazed at how much extra time you'll have when you give up the food. And I can be literal in my thinking at times. And I'm like, oh, come on, there's only 24 hours in a day. How do you get extra time? You know, because I wanted the magic answer and just wasn't hearing it. So I had, my disease was trying to find every possible fault in this program. And when I eliminated my eating and realized some of my behaviors, I discovered a huge amount of my time was spent thinking about food. And I, once again, when I think of spare time, I think of a luxurious chunk of spare time where I can grab a cup of black coffee, go out and sit on my swing and look out at the pond and nobody bother me. And I'm just sitting there and all is right in the world. Okay, I don't have that kind of spare time. So, you know, but it's not that kind of spare time. When I'm teaching in my classroom and I finish a lesson with a child and I stop for a second, that second is spare time that my mind, when I was in the disease, went, what's in the teacher's lounge? What's over there in the snack bin? What's in my backpack? Hey, I think I'm going to go eat. And immediately I have wasted more than a second on thinking of food, how to get the food, where to go to get the food. And honestly, I am not paying attention to the 25, 2.5 to 6-year-olds roaming around in my classroom. And that's what I'm being paid to do. And that's what I love to do. I love doing my job. And that little second will take away many minutes. And in the disease, that second would take away years of my life because I would eat. So now, with that second, when I think of, ooh, he's eating whatever over at the snack table, that sure looks good, I then go, well, that's his food. Hey, so-and-so, I'd like to show you something. Come with me. Because God's will is for me to do the next right thing. And the next right thing is to do my job well. And to have that constant contact and to feel that flow of energy, being in God's will, all is right in the world. And you get all these God winks throughout the day of you're doing the right thing because there's no confusion in doing the right thing. There's clarity. And those spare moments are filled with clarity. And if I'm confused and frustrated, then I am not in God's will. I am in the disease because that is the author of destruction. So I love that. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Next up is Jeannie, but before we get to Jeannie, let me let you know where we're at. So we are in There's a Solution, page 19, first paragraph. None of us make a soul vocation of this work, just that paragraph. All right, Jeannie, you're up.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Jeannie B. from Florida, recovered. I want to thank you for hearing me this morning, this paragraph really hit me because I had no idea what OA or 12-step world was like when I came into the rooms 2 years ago. So these concepts, they largely went over my head. I was confused by them. I was overwhelmed by them. And all I really knew was that I was coming to terms with, I'm an addict. I'm an addict. I'm an addict. And the rest of this, I was just so overwhelmed that all I could do was take the bite that I could take of this. I didn't even hear the pun in that. All I could do was take this one step, which is to say, okay, I asked the questions of OA, and I accept that I need to be here. I don't know what this is. I don't know what this world is. I don't know how you all operate or the parameters or anything. I just know that I resonate with something here, and I came to believe I needed to be here in order to potentially get well. There was a lot of confusion and a lot of uncertainty on my part. So once I got that day, actually, I stopped all binging of any food and got the whole understanding of my abstinent foods and my alcoholic foods. But then it's been 2 years, and it's been, for me, it's been this unfolding. So it's a focus on abstinence and still a sort of obsession about food, about what I'm not going to eat, about what I am going to eat, about how do I do this recovery thing, about, okay, and going through the big book and understanding, doing my very best version of the 12 steps with a recovered sponsor, and really, honestly, barely getting it all, but still it was my best because it was all I could do it in that moment, in that take. And over time and over, my food has changed and become more solid and more neutral and become more easy. And the rest of this, as this paragraph lays out, the rest of this has become such a focus of my work, which is, who am I in each moment? How do I live this day? How do I incorporate what is the next right action? How do I incorporate the guidance that I get in my morning spiritual ritual? How do I keep from my resentments, my fears? How do I deal with breakups and new excitements and losing a job and getting a job? How do I deal with regular life relationships in recovery? And that is the journey of the rest of my life, and it helps progress after progress. And coming to this meeting, hearing you all, you inspire me, and you guide me, and I'm so grateful for the compass that this meeting is. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Gina. Next up is Kelly S. Bob by Anne Marie M.
Hey, Russ, thanks for your service. Good to hear you. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, I'm so excited to be on this paragraph. I think you guys know I'm a broken record. This paragraph's changed my life. This part. We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning, a much more important demonstration of our principle lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. Wait, what? When did they put this in here? Elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. Like Harlan said, I didn't come in for any of this other stuff. I came in here to get my weight under control, my food, my eating under control. How's this just a beginning, right? I missed this. All this year, all these years, these decades, that was my end all, right? Okay, these steps, this God thing, right? This was for me to stop eating and to get my weight under control, right? I wasn't putting down the food, learn to live life different. I didn't come in for any of that, right? And then I've learned that that's really what it's about. So, okay, all of you guys are sharing all this great stuff. And you're all living really different. You're showing up for your kids. You're showing up for your work. Okay, that sounds great. How the hell are you doing that? How are you doing that? I can't do that. Love and tolerance is our code. Guess what? Hadn't been my code. I don't know how to do it. It doesn't come natural for me. Being nice and kind, you know, I want to say I am. I'm just going to tell you guys, it's a challenge. So elimination of our drinking. That's tough. If you're a newcomer and you're a chronic relapser like I was, I'm telling you. So you're like, elimination is just the beginning? I can't even freaking do that. And now you're showing me, telling me I have to show up different. How am I supposed to show that? How am I supposed to do that, right? Guess what? We lack power. We lack power. So here's the deal. All these people are saying all these great things, but I'm sitting here going, okay, well, how am I supposed to do that, you guys, right? So guess what we do? We work these steps because here's the solution. I lack power to put down the food. I lack power to show up different and be in with my wife, my kids, my career, my patients. I lack the ability to do that. But God, my higher power, will give me that. But I have to work the steps to get that connection, to get that relationship with this power, because I don't know. You all know my favorite prayer that I use every single day is, God, I don't know how to effing do this. Whether it started with me putting down the food, or going up to my parents with my dad with dementia, or coming to my kids who I want to control and manage and they're grown-ups, right? Or going to work and everything's not going my way. God, I don't know how to effing do this. But I had to put the food down first. It's just the beginning, right? I have to work these steps. I have to have an experience and get this connection and this relationship with God, because that's what this is about. So all these wonderful people in these shares, if you're like, I want to live like that, I want to do that, put the food down, work the steps, get this connection, this relationship with God, because we lack power to put down food. We lack power. I lack power to show up different. But God's given me that power today. And with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Perfect time, Kelly. Next up is Anne-Marie M., followed by Riska R.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovered through God's grace and by doing the work in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This has been a really good, I've heard so many good things in a great paragraph. And I love that someone had mentioned the number of times working with others is mentioned in this book. For goodness sakes, in the doctor's opinion, on the very first page, and when people say there's no must, I have all the must underlined, but it says here in his course of treatment, speaking about Bill, he required a certain ideas concerning the possible means of recovery. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conception to others, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with others. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship. So right from the beginning, we are being told that working with others is key. It is key for me. And the first sentence says, none of us make a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think if its effectiveness would be increased. I retired about 4 years ago, and I feel like this is my vocation, working with others. I have, like my schedule, like if you look at my calendar on my phone, you know, it's called with different sponsees at different times. And it does take up a lot of my time. I need to balance. And most importantly, with God this morning. And in fact, this morning that word transparency came up. And thank you for who shared their transparency about how, you know, life hits us, how we can react to it and how we can change, how we've changed now with our reactions. And that change isn't, for me, it's not permanent, because I go back, my character defects pop up all the time. So my time with God is number one. And then my husband, I need to, his schedule is like, I plan my talks with my sponsees around his schedule. And I have a life, you know, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I'm going to go play pickleball. I play golf with my husband. I'm learning how to paddleboard. This is a life. But I'll tell you one thing, the most joy that I get is working with others. It's such a joy. And I've talked to a couple of people who don't have that joy with working with others, and I'm just grateful that I do. Let me tell you, though, as soon as I get, you know, somebody through the steps and they're on their way, I feel like taking a break, but I cannot take a break from this vocation. Thank you.
All right, Anne-Marie, thank you. Next up is Rivka R., and then we'll take another list.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much, Russ, for your service and everybody in the line, all the shares. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. That line, a much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. I also glossed over the importance and the magnitude of the sentence for years. I think it was more of ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing person, but you're still to blame for my feelings, which makes life really stressful. I think my lack of real deep emotional sobriety was an indication of a lack in my relationship with God. But this last time, working through the steps again and listening to you guys day after day, my whole orientation to life began to change. And my focus became God and God's will. And I began to trust and become an inside-out person, a person who can demonstrate these principles, rather than an outside-in person where, everything is run just by my emotions and my reaction to the circumstances. And what's really cool is that God is already inside of me. And when I'm in touch with that, I can reveal who I really am. I don't have to live in the lies and the resentments and the fears. My favorite line in the Big Book is, God is everything or he's nothing. So if God is everything, then God is creating this very moment for my benefit, to give me a choice, to choose life by connecting with him, or God forbid the opposite. And I use the word him just for convenience, but I believe the creator who created gender is way beyond gender. But just for convenience, I'm using the word him. But anyway, I'm before resentment and reactivity was my way of life, and now I have the freedom to give space and value to others. And it doesn't mean that I don't have an initial reaction. If someone does something I don't like, I have an initial reaction, but that's just a sign to look at what's threatened in me. It doesn't have to determine my action anymore. I can bring what's going on in me to God, get clarity, direction, rather than acting in a way that will cost me my well-being and the well-being of others. And life, I have to say, is a lot more fun this way, being inside out, because I'm in touch with the true source of joy and love inside of me. And once I connect with that, I can connect with those around me and demonstrate these principles. And I have to say that, it is not my soul vocation, S-O-L-E, but it is my soul vocation, S-O-U-L. And for that, I'm so grateful. And so thanks. Have a great day, everybody. I pass.
Thanks, Rivka. All right, we're going to open up the lines for Sharon again. We are in There's a Solution, page 19, the first paragraph, None of Us Make a Soul Vocation of This Work, just that paragraph. And if you haven't shared in the past couple of days, you're welcome to share. Who would like to share?
Bonnie B. from Florida.
All Melissa right, Bonnie. Melissa.
Marley.
All right, 1 second. Melissa. There's Susan. And there's someone else.
Carly.
And what's the first initial of your last name?
F, as in Frank.
All right, cool. I think we take one more. Who else? Okay, scaring people off today. All right, so we got Bonnie B, Melissa C, Susan SH, and then Carly F. And then if we got time, we'll take more. Bonnie, you're up.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Russ, for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered in the state of Florida, blessed beyond words. So this paragraph is just beautiful. And the thing that I was thinking about is I was listening to all the previous shares, and thanks for all of them because they were beautiful, was, the game plan for me is to not look left and not look right, which is what I did, and what I still tend to do if I'm not careful. Even with regards to my time, right? Because this is what we're talking about. How much time can you give to this? The game plan that I have now on a daily basis is to anchor to my creator. First thing, look up, look in, and listen. And my schedule is also different than others, right? I mean, we had six kids. I don't have any children at home right now. I retired 3 years ago. I have way more time than I had when I had little ones at home. I have a different level, a different availability than maybe someone does that has little ones on their feet. And it doesn't make what I do with my time any more valuable than what they do with their time. Again, this is for me. The God that I serve, he wants my heart in the morning. When I give him my heart and I give him my time, and I can tell what I love by what I do with my time and how I spend my money. You know, I mean, when I had less time, I still had time. It's just that I wanted to sit on the couch and watch a Hallmark movie with that little bit of time I had left. So whatever I spend my time on, that's what I tend to love. But again, for me, it doesn't come down to looking left or right. It comes down to looking in and looking up. And the whole basis of the program for me is about dying to self and serving others in the name of our great God, pouring out upon them the same thing that God has given to me, which is unconditional love with no strings attached. So when I talk with people about how they spend their time, it's not really something I talk about. I will say, ask God, he'll show you. Ask God, he'll show you. And I know that he does, because he does that for each of us. This is an inside-out program. I have to listen with the ear that's found inside of the word heart. The three letters on the inside of the word heart is ear. Now, if you take the T off, it's here. That's my absolute goal on a daily basis, is to slow down and hear from my God. And then do as he would direct me to do, and thank him for that. And so with that, I'll pass. And thanks, you guys. Blessings.
Thanks, Bonnie. Appreciate it. Next up is Melissa C., followed by Susan S.H.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. Are you able to hear me okay?
Got you loud and clear. Perfect.
Okay, great. So, I love this. This program gave me a true structure for how I live my life. And it's the demonstration of these principles, how I demonstrate these principles that really matters. You know, I know, like, I came in here initially just like everybody else because I couldn't stop eating and I didn't like what my compulsive eating was doing to me physically. And I had no understanding for what it was doing to me spiritually and what it was doing to my life, how it was like making my life very small. And I didn't know that I needed new principles. I didn't know that I needed to demonstrate a different way. I thought I just needed to stop eating so damn much. And thank God, you know, I got a really good education of, and a spiritual awakening, you know, where God has entered my heart and has done the miraculous. So, you know, for me, I am passionate about Overeaters Anonymous. I'm compassionate, you know, and I'm compassionate as a result, you know, like the passion gave me compassion. And, and so I love nothing more than like sharing the message, whether it's meetings and workshops and on the line and working with sponsees. That is so important to me. But even more important, you know, like I spent this last week caring for my mom who has dementia. My sister is her primary caregiver. We have, you know, we have an aide, we have whatnot, but my sister needed to go away and I took care of my mom for the week. And, you know, I did not get to work with my sponsees as much, you know, that's the truth. But what this program has taught me is that I have a new design for living that works. And I found out that I can practice these principles. I first learned them in the rooms, but it's the purpose of it is not just to hang out in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, although I love to, and practice the principles there. It's how do you act on the outside world? How did I show up? Thank you, God, with my mother, for my mother, recognizing that that this was a gift, that God actually gave me a gift to spend this precious time with mom. And how did I show up for my siblings? How am I showing up for my sister? How am I going into work today? You know, what do I bring with me? You know, having a physical transformation is awesome. And a lot of people comment when you've lost, you know, over twice. You know, if you're half the size of that you were at one time, and you don't eat compulsively anymore, people ask. But the much greater demonstration is how do you live your life? And I'm really grateful to have learned that here with you guys. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Susan S.H., followed by Carly F.
Good morning. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and very grateful. I've been looking at this, and none of us makes a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. Yeah, I blog myself a little bit about not spending enough time on all the things I need to do. The fact is, I'm loved unconditionally by a higher power. I trust that. I am learning every day, relearning some things I learned before, and I do enough. My higher power loves me and will show me the next right thing and show me how to be the person he always intended for me to be. That last sentence that a few are fortunate enough to be so situated they can give nearly all their time to the work. Yeah, a few are blessed that way. And I need God's help, be grateful for them every day, and to make use of what they offer. It's there for me to grow and keep changing and keep learning. And that is my goal every day, to work the steps, to keep learning, and to keep progressing. I'm very grateful for all I've learned so far and every new thing I have yet to learn. And I will pass with that.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot. Next up is Carly F.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm Carly F. I'm from Colorado, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I am at the early days of my walk down these steps, or through these steps, I guess I should say. So what stands to me, and I'm kind of piggybacking on what Kelly said earlier, is we feel that the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. I'm still at the beginning. And so what I'm looking at here is what's to come, you know, and I kind of used this analogy before. I've got my head out the window. I'm driving my car, right? I'm on my way. I've got my head out the window. I'm looking ahead, and this is a view of how it's going to be when I get through these steps. So really, I'm just sort of reminded, I'm encouraged by that. But I'm also want to speak to those on the call that are, maybe this is your first call, maybe it's your 10th or 100th, but maybe you're early in your walk, in your step work, as they say. But I could be overwhelmed by, oh my gosh, I need to go be doing all this stuff. But what I really need to be doing is focusing on where I'm at, which is at the elimination of my drinking and my eating, right? And so I just felt the need to say that for those of you that are in early days, that this is coming, and I'm so excited to be able to be in a place where I can share with others in the same way. I am started to practice these things in all my affairs. I'm on step two. So I did earlier this week, I did a powerless thing on a situation in my life that I was like, oh, we've done all we can do. We just have to wait on God, you know? And I told my husband that, and he was like, okay, you're right. You know, and literally 4 hours later, the situation was resolved, and it was like, aha, see, this does work in all your affairs. But again, I'm early days. I'm so encouraged by what's to come, but I'm also extremely happy to be where I'm at right now, which is working the steps. I have to be where I'm at, and that is, I'm still focused on the eliminating of my eating. So thanks, everyone, and with that, I'll pass.
All right, Carly, thank you. We have time right now for two and a half minute shares. Who would like to share?
Sarah G.
This is Larry. Larry K.
All right, Sarah. I think it was Sarah G and Larry K. That should That should hook it up. So 2, 2.5, all right? Go ahead, Sherry, you're up.
Okay, thank you so much. Part of my disease is isolating, and I prefer not to talk, but I'm sharing, and I'm so grateful. I really appreciated hearing everyone's shares. And what I noticed for myself is that I had, you know, I did my fourth step before. I've, you know, went through my resentments, and what I need to look at now is my resentment about me and when I relapse and when I don't take care of myself because I'm not doing God's will. And that's all I have to share right now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Next up is Larry. Larry, you can take 3 now.
Hey, right. Oh, boy, look at that. Hey, Russ. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. I got inspired by Melissa because I have a similar experience, and it speaks to this paragraph of practicing these principles, you know, in our respective homes and elsewhere. And so, I mean, I'm glad that I have good teachers. I'm glad that I get to spend today. I get the privilege, you know, the woman that was my greatest resentment, I couldn't spend a minute with this woman for decades. I call this woman my mother. Well, my mother is now in her 80s. She seemed to change around the time I had a spiritual awakening. Of course, she's not in program, so something happened to me. But I get to spend the day with her, and like Melissa, my mother also is going through, you know, she's got some dementia, she's got different things, but I get the privilege of spending the day with her today, you know, and that's a miracle that I want to spend the day with her today, and that God has put into my heart, has changed me. These steps implemented on a regular basis have put into my heart today that I can be the man that I never was able to be before. This imperfect man, but this man that has a heart, has a conscience, wants to do good. And that's a freaking miracle. That's really crazy to me, even today. You know, my mom doesn't care about, and she lives in a very small world today, and she doesn't care who Larry Kay is. She could give a flying you-know-what. And I love that because the truth of the matter is she's just my mother, and and what's important in life, is how we demonstrate these principles with other people. How do we show up today? You know, it's pretty cool. With much gratitude, I keep learning with you guys about what this big book has to offer. Because you know what? There's someone else. I'll wrap up with this, Russ. There's someone else on this line that she demonstrated for me. Her mother was going through some things and in her old age. And she demonstrated for me how, you know what? We don't live to recover. We recover to live. And you guys set a great example for me. So with that, I will pass. Thanks, Russ. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry. Looks like you're going to be our last share for today. And thank you to everyone who shared. And please join us for a second hour of study immediately following closing. And today's share ID, Friday, May 10th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,390. All right. So now we're going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne-Marie M. please read a vision for your book is meant to be suggestive only.
This is Anne-Marie M., covered compulsive reader. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God, constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the next. The answers will come if your own house is a good one. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you struggle, as you trudge the road of happiness. May God bless you and keep you until then.